Cambridge English. Certificate in Advanced English Listening. Sample Test 2. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You'll hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There'll now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You'll hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer, A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are 2 questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear 2 students talking about a work experience scheme they took part in. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
So, how did your work experience placement turn out?
Well, all I can say is I'm glad it's over and it's a relief to be back at college. I worked for a friend of my dad's. One thing I've learnt is listen to advice, because I think I should have gone to a company with a recognised work experience programme. At Bloom's they were friendly enough, but didn't quite know what to do with me, how to treat me. There was nothing set up, so I generally ended up filing. I mean, it's a mindless task. I didn't mind that, but it's hardly the sort of thing to give someone an overview of what's available job-wise in an office. I suppose you mix with business tycoons and have come back with big ideas?
Well, not exactly, though there were things I did learn, and I feel I know a bit more about what to expect. I spent time in several departments. I can see myself going in for finance, eventually, but not for a while yet. There seemed so many constraints. I was amazed by the dress code, for instance. Here at college, I'm glad to be back on familiar ground. Having said that, now what about that coursework assignment? So, how did your work experience placement turn out?
Well, all I can say is I'm glad it's over and it's a relief to be back at college. I worked for a friend of my dad's. One thing I've learnt is listen to advice, because I think I should have gone to a company with a recognised work experience programme. At Bloom's they were friendly enough, but didn't quite know what to do with me, how to treat me. There was nothing set up, so I generally ended up filing. I mean, it's a mindless task. I didn't mind that, but it's hardly the sort of thing to give someone an overview of what's available job-wise in an office. I suppose you mix with business tycoons and have come back with big ideas?
Well, not exactly, though there were things I did learn, and I feel I know a bit more about what to expect. I spent time in several departments. I can see myself going in for finance, eventually, but not for a while yet. There seemed so many constraints. I was amazed by the dress code, for instance. Here at college, I'm glad to be back on familiar ground. Having said that, now what about that coursework assignment?
Extract 2. You hear part of a discussion program in which 2 journalists are talking about the world's wetlands. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
There's too much fuss over wetlands. They're only boggy, rather sad wet areas visited by geeks and bird watchers, but few others. I know nature buffs get excited over them, but aren't they mostly useless places? I read they only take up less than 1% of the Earth's surface anyway. Accepted, they're visually stunning. There's something about a watery landscape that seems to speak to something deep in the human psyche. But spending vast amounts of money to preserve them for ducks...
Wetlands are certainly good for ducks, but what about people? Sun plus water equals life, but we manage that equation very badly. When it rains, we seem bent on getting rid of the stuff, swishing it out to sea. But wetlands hold water and release it slowly. I'm not even going into their fish stocks or their role in flood control. You'd think we'd hang on to them. Instead, they're being degraded faster than other ecosystems. But put water back, birds zoom in, the land recovers virtually in front of your eyes. It's such a pity people are unaware that reversing the damage can be so straightforward. And the beauty you mentioned, that goes without saying.
There's too much fuss over wetlands. They're only boggy, rather sad, wet areas visited by geeks and bird watchers, but few others. I know nature buffs get excited over them, but aren't they mostly useless places? I read they only take up less than 1% of the Earth's surface anyway. Accepted, they're visually stunning. There's something about a watery landscape that seems to speak to something deep in the human psyche. But spending vast amounts of money to preserve them for ducks...
Wetlands are certainly good for ducks, but what about people? Sun plus water equals life, but we manage that equation very badly. When it rains, we seem bent on getting rid of the stuff, swishing it out to sea. But wetlands hold water and release it slowly. I'm not even going into their fish stocks or their role in flood control. You'd think we'd hang on to them. Instead, they're being degraded faster than other ecosystems. But put water back, birds zoom in, the land recovers virtually in front of your eyes. It's such a pity people are unaware that reversing the damage can be so straightforward. And the beauty you mentioned, that goes without saying.
Extract 3. You overhear a woman showing a friend one of her childhood photos. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
Is this a picture of your family on a camping holiday, Sarah?
Yeah. I came across it recently when I was clearing out the cupboards. That's me in the centre. It was my 4th birthday, I think. I love it. It's just a fragment in time, isn't it? Shot almost by accident. But it's much more intriguing than any carefully set up photo could be.
There's your parents and uncles and aunts in the background?
Yeah, all smiling. You'd never imagine they didn't get on, would you? Anyway, I didn't notice at first. But now I do recognise much of the stuff that followed us around on camping holidays. The battered saucepan, the old flask that's now in my garage gathering dust because I can't bear to part with it.
I guess every family has its own collection of familiar objects like that. The flotsam of life.
Yeah, but now I see them as old friends. And that's got me looking around my house in a different way. Imagining my young son feeling like that. Looking fondly on our stuff as mementos of our shared lives together.
Is this a picture of your family on a camping holiday, Sarah?
Yeah. I came across it recently when I was clearing out the cupboards. That's me in the centre. It was my 4th birthday, I think. I love it. It's just a fragment in time, isn't it? Shot almost by accident. But it's much more intriguing than any carefully set up photo could be.
There's your parents and uncles and aunts in the background?
Yeah, all smiling. You'd never imagine they didn't get on, would you? Anyway, I didn't notice at first, but now I do recognise much of the stuff that followed us around on camping holidays. The battered saucepan, the old flask that's now in my garage gathering dust because I can't bear to part with it.
I guess every family has its own collection of familiar objects like that. The flotsam of life.
Yeah, but now I see them as old friends. And that's got me looking around my house in a different way. Imagining my young son feeling like that. Looking fondly on our stuff. As mementos of our shared lives together.
That's the end of part one. Extract 2. You hear part of a discussion programme in which two journalists are talking about the world's wetlands. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
There's too much fuss over wetlands. They're only boggy, rather sad wet areas visited by geeks and bird watchers, but few others. I know nature buffs get excited over them, but aren't they mostly useless places? I read they only take up less than 1% of the Earth's surface anyway. Excepted, they're visually stunning. There's something about a watery landscape that seems to speak to something deep in the human psyche. But spending vast amounts of money to preserve them for ducks...
Wetlands are certainly good for ducks, but what about people? Sun plus water equals life, but we manage that equation very badly. When it rains, we seem bent on getting rid of the stuff, swishing it out to sea. But wetlands hold water and release it slowly. I'm not even going into their fish stocks or their role in flood control. You'd think we'd hang on to them. Instead, they're being degraded faster than other ecosystems. But put water back, birds zoom in, the land recovers virtually in front of your eyes. It's such a pity people are unaware that reversing the damage can be so straightforward. And the beauty you mentioned, that goes without saying.
There's too much fuss over wetlands. They're only boggy, rather sad wet areas visited by geeks and bird watchers, but few others. I know nature buffs get excited over them, but aren't they mostly useless places? I read they only take up less than 1% of the Earth's surface anyway. Excepted, they're visually stunning. There's something about a watery landscape that seems to speak to something deep in the human psyche. But spending vast amounts of money to preserve them for ducks...
Wetlands are certainly good for ducks, but what about people? Sun plus water equals life, but we manage that equation very badly. When it rains, we seem bent on getting rid of the stuff, swishing it out to sea. But wetlands hold water and release it slowly. I'm not even going into their fish stocks or their role in flood control. You'd think we'd hang on to them. Instead, they're being degraded faster than other ecosystems. But put water back, birds zoom in, the land recovers virtually in front of your eyes. It's such a pity people are unaware that reversing the damage can be so straightforward. And the beauty you mentioned, that goes without saying.
Extract 3. You overhear a woman showing a friend one of her childhood photos. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
Is this a picture of your family on a camping holiday, Sarah?
Yeah. I came across it recently when I was clearing out the cupboards. That's me in the centre. It was my 4th birthday, I think. I love it. It's just a fragment in time, isn't it? Shot almost by accident. But it's much more intriguing than any carefully set up photo could be.
There's your parents and uncles and aunts in the background?
Yeah, all smiling. You'd never imagine they didn't get on, would you? Anyway, I didn't notice at first. But now I do recognise much of the stuff that followed us around on camping holidays. The battered saucepan, the old flask that's now in my garage gathering dust because I can't bear to part with it.
I guess every family has its own collection of familiar objects like that. The flotsam of life.
Yeah, but now I see them as old friends. And that's got me looking around my house in a different way. Imagining my young son feeling like that. Looking fondly on our stuff as mementos of our shared lives together.
Is this a picture of your family on a camping holiday, Sarah?
Yeah. I came across it recently when I was clearing out the cupboards. That's me in the centre. It was my 4th birthday, I think. I love it. It's just a fragment in time, isn't it? Shot almost by accident. But it's much more intriguing than any carefully set up photo could be.
There's your parents and uncles and aunts in the background?
Yeah, all smiling. You'd never imagine they didn't get on, would you? Anyway, I didn't notice at first, but now I do recognise much of the stuff that followed us around on camping holidays. The battered saucepan, the old flask that's now in my garage gathering dust because I can't bear to part with it.
I guess every family has its own collection of familiar objects like that. The flotsam of life.
Yeah, but now I see them as old friends. And that's got me looking around my house in a different way. Imagining my young son feeling like that. Looking fondly on our stuff. As mementos of our shared lives together.
That's the end of part 1.